This is PCJ Radio International.
Hello, friends and listeners. Welcome to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Today's program is a real mixed bag of things. Yes, we're not just focusing on one subject or two, but in fact, many. The first one we have actually is about the Pacific island of Nauru. Now, they recently announced that they were going to increase the cost of visas for media professionals. The current cost is $200, and they're going to increase it. Not by a couple of hundred, but rather a couple of thousand. Yes, that's right. The new media visa for the island of Nauru is going from $200 to $8,000. Yes, $8,000. Now, it's a single entry visa, and it's only valid for 3 months. And apparently the new visa, if it's unsuccessful, well, guess what? You don't get the money back. Now, this is an increase of nearly 3,900%. And a lot of people are wondering, well, why increase it that much? Well, guess what? One of the government ministers said, if journalists can make money from stories about Nauru, then the government should also reap the rewards. Yes, $200 to $8,000. Now, many countries, of course, that do have correspondents in Nauru, which is not many, except for Australia, are kind of wondering whether or not they even want to send journalists to Nauru anymore. So we'll have to see if this actually will change. There's nothing, of course, stopping somebody going there on a visitor's visa, which only cost $100. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Now, we've seen, of course, countries, you know, increase visa costs, and that is nothing unusual, but to go from $200 to $8,000 for a tiny little Pacific island, you've got to be kidding. Well, we're going to stay in the Pacific, actually, for a couple of stories today. The former president of the Pacific Island News Association has appealed to members to uphold the original reason for the formation of the organization to defend media freedom. Monica Miller from American Samoa, who was on a panel to discuss the Third Pacific Media Summit about the importance of tuna and Pacific Island countries, began her address by saying too many media organizations have abandoned PINA, and it was almost like a divorce. For more, here's Sean Dorney.
Monica Miller from American Samoa led the Pacific Islands News Association for 7 years. In the days when PINA was the major champion of media freedom in the Pacific, in her opening remarks to the session on reporting the tuna story, Monica Miller said the organisation these days no longer enjoyed the confidence of so many of its former members. She also made reference to a comment earlier in the conference by the director of Fiji's government-appointed Media Industry Development Authority, Matai Akawola.
Yes, as you heard, I used to be the mother of PINA for many years. Nobody else wanted the job, so let her do it. So PINA is very important to me, and I get emotional when I talk about PINA. And this is the first gathering of PINA that I've attended in many, many years. So it's been wonderful catching up with old colleagues, many of them now bosses, and also reflecting on the memories of colleagues who are no longer with us, but who have left their mark and legacy in the Pacific media. And also of colleagues who have left PINA, the PINA family, in the belief that PINA no longer represents what the organization was set up for. But as Matai said, we're not wrong. We're doing things differently. And while we can do things differently, PINA's mandate is enshrined in its constitution, and unless it's changed, protection of free speech and freedom of expression is in there. As the present safeguards of media freedom, are we doing our duty? And will the PINA we pass on to the next generation, one that we can be proud of? Or will we be the ones our replacements will point to and say, it was when they were in charge that the association became fragmented? In divorce, there's always a chance for the couple to try and settle their differences. While we don't want to dwell on the past, we need to look at the causes of the breakup and fix them and make the marriage work again. And I want to be part of the fix-up team.
Whether there is an opportunity for a fix will be decided at today's annual general meeting of PINA. But the number of paid-up members is a fraction of what it used to be. Monica Miller then turned her attention to the tuna story.
So the fishing story is about jobs. It's about food. It's about the revenues that our governments earn from the licenses issued to foreign fishing boats to fish in our EEZs. It's about the effects of overfishing and how the fish that is caught in our waters is processed and packed in faraway countries like Thailand and China and then comes back to us in a tin.
Another panellist, Robert Matau from the Suva-based Islands Business Magazine, has followed the tuna story closely. Robert's son is an engineer on a Fiji-based tuna boat which is facing a very uncertain future.
We have the healthiest tuna stock in the world. There are other RFMOs who have collapsed. There's no tuna in the oceans anymore, and they're trying to rehabilitate it. So the warnings are continuing. If we continue to allow this indiscriminate fishing going on, we'll also collapse. We'll lose our tuna. And other fish depend on the tuna family. It's a food chain, you know. You let that one go, it's a domino effect. What other fish goes after that? What other fish will these distant waters and fishing regions come from? It's an important message that I'd like to share with you. And I feel, too, that this issue has been neglected a bit.
There was a workshop preceding this Pacific Media Summit, partly sponsored by the Pacific Islands Forum Fisheries Agency. The agency's media officer, Lisa Williams-Lahari, read out some of the resolutions of that workshop group.
The Tunanomics group said that we need to forge stronger partnerships with the regional fisheries organisations, FFA, SBC and other RFMOs, as they are known. I know it's full of acronyms, to help share more information in ways that people can properly engage with what is out there. And of course, always, to ensure media have great access to the Pacific talking heads that we need to speak to when we want to share the Tunanomics story.
Lisa Williams-Lahari from the Forum Fisheries Agency. The Pacific Islands News Association's annual general meeting is on today. PINA is now an incorporated company registered in Fiji, and I've been told the legal advice is that the current executive should not be changed. So Monica Miller's office to be part of the fix-up team to help PINA restore its support from a broader base of Pacific media organisations may not be taken up.
That was Sean Dorney reporting. Well, this past week, the world celebrated World Radio Day. In fact, later on in the program, we will have a little bit more about it. Now, despite the steady growth of alternative media, radio remains the best way to reach the biggest audience around the world. It's relatively cheap, accessible to those in remote communities, and a great way for communicating with people who can't read. For many areas in the Pacific, community radio continues to have a big impact, particularly for women. For many years, FemLink Pacific has been running a range of community media initiatives to get more women on the airwaves and to boost their standing in the community. Next, Heather Jarvis speaks to Francis Tawiki, who is responsible for FemLink's Pacific Regional Network.
My role is conducting consultations on women, peace and human security, basically talking about the issues that they go through every day and what they think needs to be done or the solution to the problems that they face. And also at the same time, we provide linkages to them on how they will be able to reach out and come up with solutions to the issues that they face. So the programs that we produce or the stories that we get from them, we broadcast them on air, and it is documented, and that is taken up to the policy level.
So the whole idea of this is to empower people to communicate what's important to them to get the message out.
Yes, it is important. We feel that at this moment it is important for women to stand up and speak out the issues that they face or the ideas that they want, like for better development, because like we all know, women are best known to be in the kitchen, and we want to turn that around, because we think if women are part of the process, if women take part in decision making, especially in local levels, in community levels, there would be changes in our communities. Like in the village meetings in Fiji, women are not allowed to talk in the village meeting. They are set at the back to do the catering and all this stuff. But we believe, like, that is why we work with women, and that's why we build confidence in them, for them to stand up and talk, because we want development in our communities.
Can you give me some idea of the issues that the women in the rural areas are really passionate about?
Oh, they talk about human security and the seven pillars, which is environment, health, all the issues. And the most of the issues that the women are talking about at this moment is health, access to health services, and also the high cost of living. And most of the women in the rural areas, because of the high cost of living, they can't buy nutritious food. They either buy a packet of noodles and tinned fish to feed the family, rather than buying a $2 bundle of cabbage to feed the whole family, which is nutritious. They can't do that. And that's why everything leads to their health. And then when it comes to health, the poor road infrastructure, they have to travel 10 kilometers in order to reach the health centers. And also the services the authority is providing, there is no women have to pay, or when they call up the stations, there is no ambulance and all those things available for these women. Yes, one is health, one is the poor road infrastructure and the high cost of living.
So how does making radio programs, for example, improve the situation?
Because with our community radio program, like I've mentioned before, we go out, we collect the stories. It's not only that we collect the stories, we also help the women, like, identify solutions and also make connections for them. Because we can't, they can't be raising, let's say, if they say water is not running well here, well, changes won't happen overnight. One thing that we believe in, it's voicing our opinion, like, firm every time, and then hopefully the decision makers will hear. And then, like, with doing all of this, like, we have seen changes. Like in Malamala community in Nandi, there was, like, no water from the beginning of time. And the women there, they have to go and get water from the creek, and they have to walk a mile or two in order to fetch water. So we went and visit them, and then we sent out the press release to the mainstream media, and they picked it up from there. And now they are working closely with the women in Malamala in order to build their water tanks and for them to access water. Even the schools in Malamala, the children have to take water bottles to school every day, because the water, they don't have any water in school. So those are one of the why it is important for the community radio to work with this, because we target the areas that the mainstream media haven't, like, doesn't reach. So going out and taking these stories and bringing out their stories, making linkages, and also sending them out to the people in decision making, I think that is why our work is important.
And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. This past week, on the 13th of February, people were celebrating World Radio Day. And as always, the head of UNESCO, Irina Bakova, sent a message to everyone.
Today we celebrate radio as a force for freedom of expression and pluralism, for all men and women, and especially women, who remain underrepresented in newsmaking, in decision-making, and in media ownership. How can we get the full story with only half of the world's voices? This is why UNESCO is working to develop radio as an independent and pluralistic media for both women and men, and to create a safer environment for all journalists, regardless of gender. Radio can carry any message to any place, at any time. We need to fully harness this power for the benefit of everyone. In this spirit, UNESCO calls today on all broadcasters, from local community stations to international media outlets, to promote gender equality and the empowerment of women and men both in and through radio. This is UNESCO's message on World Radio Day.
Sergio Valzagna, director adjunct Radio Televiziunea Italiană, RAI.
Recunosc în instituția dumneavoastră un partener excelent. În Italia trăiesc peste 1 milion de români. Sensibilitatea serviciilor publice de radio de la Roma și de la București creează raporturi ca ale noastre și caută apoi terenul favorabil pentru a le consolida, pentru a oferi italienilor o viziune completă despre ceea ce înseamnă România. Prezența președintelui director general al Radio România, Ovidiu Miculescu, la audiența acordată de Papa Francisc jurnaliștilor de la RAI în luna ianuarie, are multiple semnificații. În primul rând, relația foarte apropiată dintre RAI și Radio România. Apoi, semnificația ecumenică a rolului serviciilor publice. Președintele radioului public dintr-o țară majoritar ortodoxă se întâlnește cu Papa. Unii ar putea spune că nu e ceva care schimbă lumea, nu o schimbă complet, dar eu spun că ceva schimbă, pentru că strânge legăturile și deschide noi căi de comunicare.
Radio means a lot. Just thinking about the history of radio, the discovery of all these electromagnetic waves that we use every day when we switch on our radios or when we watch TV or just try to unlock our car. Everything has to do with radio and its electromagnetic waves. And I think we really owe a lot to scientists of the early 1900s and the late 1800s. People like Maxwell and Hertz and Popov and Marconi, because they really laid the foundations for radio as we know it today. Also, amateurs played quite a good and important role because they discovered that frequencies or wavelengths shorter than 200 meters could be used for long-distance communication. And that was a discovery that really revolutionized the world of communication and made also possible the worldwide broadcast of radio program. So today, what I use radio for is mainly amusement, listening to my favorite music, mainly classical music, I must add. And last but certainly not least, I'm a radio ham operator, so I use radio for personal means quite a lot, for using it on the short waves to chat with my fellow radio amateurs all over the world. And World Radio Day is also a special occasion because I will be on the air with a special call sign, PA6WRD. So if you are a radio amateur there and you hear me, please call me.
KCNP is the community radio station for the Chickasaw Nation. We operate over the air on 89.5 FM and on the internet at www.kcnpradio.org. Our primary purpose is to educate, enlighten, entertain, and engage the citizens of South Central Oklahoma in the United States of America, with the primary focus on those who are citizens of the Chickasaw Nation, a sovereign tribal government. We respect the diversity of our listeners by offering a wide variety of music, news, sports, public affairs programming, and especially severe weather announcements, since we are subject to ice storms and tornadoes.
Chickasha in Yagne Nanole, Pokole Antuchina, Awachakale Taslape, KCNP, 8 Oklahoma.
You're tuned to the community radio station of the Chickasaw Nation, 89.5 FM, KCNP, 8 Oklahoma.
Now that was just a few messages that people uploaded to the website for World Radio Day. And before that, Irina Bakova from UNESCO. Now, there's actually one interesting thing that I discovered when I was going through the messages on the website for World Radio Day. There seems to be an abundance of them from Romania, France, Hungary, a few from Tunisia and Egypt. I did come across one from the United States. One from the United States that we just took a listen to. I didn't find any from Canada, Australia, New Zealand, China, South Korea, Japan, Singapore, Malaysia, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, South Africa. Shall I continue? And I'm kind of wondering if World Radio Day was really successful. Because wouldn't you think if it's called World Radio Day, you would have messages being sent from people all around the world? I found a few, a small handful from Latin America, none from the Caribbean. And it kind of makes me wonder, what's going on here? What is going on here? Did nobody pay attention to it this year? Very strange indeed. And I think I'm going to look into this because I'm really curious to find out why there wasn't more from, let's say, Australia or Canada or the United States or the United Kingdom. You know? Very odd indeed. Okay, now we're going to have a little bit of fun. Now, there's a lot of DXers and SWLers, if I can say it that way, that do like listening to languages in that are not English or French or a language that they may speak. And quite often, people will send reception reports for a language of a radio station. They don't know the language, but they'll send a reception report anyway to receive a QSL card from that station. Now, one thing that I have to criticize DXers for, well, there's many things, but one thing in particular, and I find it odd, and I've met DXers who say, yes, I've been listening to shortwave for 30 years, but still they cannot tell the difference between, let's say, Spanish or French, or Japanese and Thai, or Portuguese and Arabic. I'm not kidding. You would be surprised how many people out there are like that. Well, this past week, somebody posted a fantastic website on the PCJ Facebook page. And this is, it's not just a lot of fun, but it's also quite informative. And, you know, you can practice your language skills. Now, maybe you don't speak the language, but at least you can hear, you know, what they sound like. It was posted by Richard Shonak. And the website is called The Great Language Game. And it plays clips of, you know, languages, and you have two choices or three choices or four choices, and you have to choose which is the correct one. So I decided to connect up another computer to our mixer and see if I can do it. Now, we don't have that much time, so we're not going to go through all the languages that they have, because I spent 30 minutes on it and had a lot of fun. But we'll just do a couple, all right? So the first two that come up on the screen are Armenian and Thai. So let's see if I can get it right away. Well, that was certainly easy. I only had two choices, Armenian and Thai, and I'll click Thai. Yes, and I've won that one. So let's see what the other next two languages are, and they are Farsi and Polish.
W tym roku 7 września Australijczycy pójdą do urn wyborczych po raz czwarty.
Well, I was kind of hoping that the little test that I did today would be a little bit more challenging, but between the two languages of Farsi and Polish, that was definitely Polish. I would suggest you go and check this website out because you will have a lot of fun. Like I spent 30 minutes going through, and sometimes you have a choice of two languages, sometimes you have a choice of four. And what is amazing is sometimes they'll put languages together that sound very similar, and it makes it a lot more challenging. So if you want to see how well you do, and of course let us know, do go and check them out. Their website is greatlanguagegame.com. That's greatlanguagegame, all one word, .com. And let us know how you did. And if you did do, you know, well, and if you didn't do so well, you probably wouldn't want to tell us. But if you did well, let us know. And maybe we can organize a contest and have some listeners here on the show and see if they can identify them themselves. So do go check it out, greatlanguagegame.com. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Well, it's now time to find out what we can expect propagation-wise over the next 7 days. Here's our propagation editor, Dan Hensley.
Here's propagation for the week from February 15th to February 21st, 2013. The 10.7 centimeter flux will be 135 steady all week long from February 15th to February 21st, 2014. The A index is 5 the first 2 days of this week, February 15th and 16th, followed by an A index of 8 on February 17th and 18th, dropping back down to 5 the rest of the week from February 19th to February 21st. The KP index starts out at 2 February 15th and 16th, up to 3 on February 17th and 18th, steady at 2 from February 19th to February 21st. 6 sunspots appear this week. 19, 71, 73, 75, and 78 are on the sun's east side, 1974 in the center, and 1976 and 77 on the west. Sunspots AR 1974 has a beta gamma delta magnetic field that harbors energy for X-class solar flares. No coronal holes have been observed this week, but we do have a possibility of auroras for Valentine's Day and an increasing chance of flares. See our website for more at www.pcjmedia.com/RPROP. Back to you, Keith.
All right. Thank you very much, Dan. And guess what? We're now out of time. Next week, we have a special on the program looking at the media in Russia. And that's on next week's edition of Media Network Plus. In 2 weeks' time, we're going to be doing a review of the new Texan PL880 receiver. I've been playing with it for a couple of weeks now, and we'll give you all the inside scoop in about 2 weeks' time. All right. If you want to contact us, our email address is very simple. It's mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. Or you can listen to this program again and download past editions by visiting our website, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. By the way, if you contact us, do let us know where you're listening to the show on, either if it's off satellite through the World Radio Network or through one of our many partner stations. We'd love to know. Anyway, I must say farewell. We'll see you in 7 days' time. 73 and 88 to the ladies.